Struve accompanied me unwillingly. His own plan was to run up and down the streets that led out of the Avenue de Clichy and ask at every house if Strickland lived there. My commonplace scheme was, after all, effective. For in the second shop we asked at, the woman behind the counter acknowledged that she knew him. She was not certain where he lived, but it was in one of the three houses opposite. Luck favoured us, and in the first we tried, the concierge told us that we should find him on the top floor. "It appears that he's ill," said Strover.
"It may be," answered the concierge indifferently. "But if I've not seen him for several days."
Strover ran up the stairs ahead of me, and when I reached the top floor, I found him talking to a workman in his shirt sleeves, who'd opened a door at which Strover had knocked. He pointed to another door. He believed that the person who lived there was a painter. He had not seen him for a week. Strover made as though he were about to knock, and then turned to me with a gesture of helplessness. I saw that he was panic-stricken.
"Supposing he's dead?"
"Not he," I said. I knocked. There was no answer. I tried the handle and found the door unlocked. I walked in, and Strover followed me. The room was in darkness. I could only see that it was an attic with a sloping roof, and a faint glimmer, no more than a less profound obscurity, came from a skylight. "Strickland?" I called. There was no answer. It was really rather mysterious, and it seemed to me that Strover, standing just behind, was trembling in his shoes. For a moment I hesitated to strike a light. I dimly perceived a bed in the corner, and I wondered whether the light would disclose lying on it a dead body.